going. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another Saturday edition of Coffee Tea with Me. It is an honor and a privilege to be the hot to introduce to you the hottest nurse in all of Texas. I know you're not a nurse, but you came and saved me.
Okay,
all right, so I'll keep quiet, and I'm going to give this right over to Karen. She's got the tape ready on my mouth. Goodbye.
Not enough. Hey, everybody. I'm so happy everybody's here. And I've been thinking a lot about what to talk about. The first thing is the Hottie from Houston thing is a huge mess, but thank you. Anyway, so I have had the longest lifespan probably of anybody here of having this toxic illness. And I really didn't think I was going to get well. I really didn't. And I was really very scared a lot. And I was trying to negotiate with myself with what could I live with? What level of this could I live with? Because you don't have any choices sometimes because you get what you get. But and what would I be satisfied with? And would it be worth pushing forward, et cetera? But I did. I finally did. And I've had several different milestones in this. And I'm going to just start from the beginning and try not to belabor the beginning part too much because it's the same story as everybody else here. So in 14, in May, I was cleaning out my attic. It was a nice, clean, neat attic. I just was organizing stuff. But I'd had a bird's nest on my front porch ceiling and I would go in and out my back door, so I didn't notice it. And it was a mud swallow. And I had just had that porch ceiling redone with beautiful beadboard. I had a historic house, a vintage house, and painted it the beautiful blue. And then those nasty little birds had put an ugly bird's nest on it. So anyway, I had several vents, and I believe that from me cleaning out the attic, and I was right there by a vent by where that bird's nest was, created whatever bit me, which I do believe now was the, and I'm probably mispronouncing this, was the columbola or columbola or whatever. And it's, from my understanding, that is a mite on a mite. It's the smallest thing imaginable, and it's one of the oldest organisms from what I understand. Don't quote me. But anyway, I'm sure many of you listeners had the same thing. It was nightmarish. So for a year, I would just feel it under my skin. I had found some things on the Internet. Of course, I got to the doctors and been told I was crazy and all of it, which might be true, but I don't think that was creating the biting and stinging. So anyway, finally, and I'd buy all kinds of stuff like everybody else. So finally, I had gotten it kind of into to kind of go away a little bit. But the next summer, I was noticing my hair was breaking off. And I thought, well, I'm going to go up in the attic and I'm going to spray like crazy. So I didn't understand the toxic or the chemical aspect of this. And I had found this thing where there's three kinds of really strong chemicals you mix together and then you spray with straight ammonia. And I had sprayers, I had foggers, I dressed up in plastic tank clothes and crawled around, did the army man crawl and got up there. And after that, and I did it again, what I thought was the egg cycle. And I threw away all kinds of stuff. And then after that, I started getting the symptoms of Morgellons. Well, I'd read enough at that point. This was like in October of 15. I had read enough at that point where I understood what that was. And so I started really, really panicking. And I had read everything and seen everything everybody else has, that you know how you're not going to get any help and you're going to be denigrated and all of those things, which I was. And so I started buying things, spending money, doing crazy stuff. And I did limit my diet, and that seemed to help. But I was getting very sick very quickly, and I started losing weight, which I kind of liked that part. But anyway, I was losing weight, but I looked gray and haggard, and I was extremely sick. So finally, this was in 15. In January 16, a friend of mine had told me about a doctor in Houston. I live outside of Houston, but she told me about a doctor in Houston who was like a Lyme specialist, and she specialized in and really finding, helping people with difficult diseases that other doctors would send their, you know, the ones they gave up on to her. She's a kind, dear soul. So I went in. I finally got an appointment. It took forever. And I finally, in January 16, I finally got an appointment with her. And her nurse team had been working for years that I knew better than to say the word Morgellons. But I went in with my list of symptoms. She was so kind. This is the nurse. She said, it sounds like Morgellons. I said, yeah, I kind of figured that. So then she let me talk to the doctor who was in her office. And so she said, now go in and sit down. So then this doctor came in and she comes by and she sits down. She's so busy. And she said, I'm so sorry, but did you have this? She said, it's just off-limits. She said, and by the way, it is not psychogenic. And I'm like, yay, thanks. Well, the thing about this doctor, just kind of, I don't mean to get off too many sidetracks, but of course I will. But she is brave. I mean, this is a woman who took care of AIDS patients back in the day, and she does what she needs to do for what she thinks is right. And so she would go to the International Lyme Conferences yearly, and Morgellon is one of the breakout sessions there. It was interesting, and it was funny because she showed me some research that I had actually found and read the entire body of research in December of 15 where they related Morgellons to Lyme and, you know, like a skin manifestation of it. And so I had read it. So she had a little a brochure she had, and she handed it to me that had basically bullet pointed that same thing. And so I thought that was pretty interesting. So I'm like, yeah, I've read that, so I'm glad you did. And so she, but I would go to her intermittently. Now I go to her for blood tests and just general checkups because, short story, I started trying everything she could throw at me, which was a lot of prescriptions. And, you know, as we all know, prescriptions will make you feel better for a little while, and then something happens and you feel worse. Now, she did have a few natural things. One, I think, was called ATO or something that was supposed to help with cell reproduction. And anyway, but it wasn't getting me well. So in 16, I finally took I was still working, and I've worked this whole time. I finally took a leave of absence from work for a month. And that's when I ordered my first protocol. I didn't know more yet, but I'd been stalking the site. But I, like many people, and I'm saying this to encourage others, because mine was really, mine was a route that took time. Anyway, so I couldn't, even though I read on Mel's site to not mix protocols, I didn't know who to believe or what to believe, because like I told Mel, I was looking when I found you. I'd been told all kinds of crazy things and didn't know who to believe, so how would I just come into your site and automatically believe everything you say? I'm desperate and hysterical basically at this point. So I'm trying everything, and during that month off, I started kind of taking the protocol, but then I'm constantly on the internet reading things. Or, I mean, I cannot tell you the money I've spent. I bought a DNA chip for $1,800. I bought a wife machine. I mean, when I look back at my Amazon orders, the history, and add up everything I've spent, and not counting it from other places. Y'all have all been there. So finally, it got so bad, even if I took that off, I was so weak that I just kind of rocked along until my CD57 score, which is a measure that my doctor uses for basically it's like immunity, I think, if I'm saying that right. For a healthy person, it's supposed to be minimum, like 75. And I think, and Donna, jump in if you, because you've got the same doctor. I think she said she wants it up like the 200s, really, but minimum 75. Mine got down to a 7. I weighed 114 pounds. I was totally gray, shaking in the corner, still going to work because, I mean, you know, had to pay bills. Anyway, and so that's whenever I thought, well, I'm going to have to settle down a little bit. And I went back to Mel's site, and on his birthday in 16, he was just starting to coach, and I think I was his first coaching customer. I'm like, shoot, yeah, give me that. I'll pay that money. I need direction. And so the first thing I have to try to say this without crying, because the first thing I asked him is, can I get well? Because everything I had read made me think it was going to be you just had to live with it to a certain degree. And I loved the name of this site because it said how I cured Morgellons. And he said, yes, ma'am, you can. Of course, then I'm suspicious, and I'm raking him over the coals, and I'm saying, okay, but did you really have Morgellons? Because I had read another person, don't say, and this is the book, okay, anyway, that had said that Mel, he had mentioned Mel in his book and said that Mel had never had Morgellons, that it probably was Lyme. So I was suspicious. Also, I now understand there are different vectors. Mel had been bitten by spiders. I had been bitten by something that was remaining under my skin that was very problematic to get rid of. And so he said yes, and I said, have other people gone well? And he started telling me, yeah. So then I started really listening and reading. But that I really had a very hard time, probably more than anybody, believing that there wasn't one bullet I really wanted there to be. And it took me years to really embrace the idea that this thing is synergistic, that you have to have everything going at one time. It's like twirling plates on stage. So anyway, so then I started getting coaching from him. That spring, but I wasn't very good really about taking all my protocol, and I was taking some prescriptions, just some other things that I, was taking. So by 17 in the summer, I decided to get off of all prescriptions, and I did notice an improvement. Well, I had some situational things going on that really kept me from, and I know it sounds like an excuse, but it's just was my reality. I mean, that kept me from being able to really devote everything I could to the sum of the parts. Thank you. I'm getting coaching over here on the side. I'm going to have to give him a dollar. Anyway,
that's why she put tape on my mouth.
Yeah, we can't find it super glue. Anyway, but I work in education, so I get some blocks of time off. But the problem I had, besides the fact that I was in a position that was very understaffed, which is typical of everybody everywhere, that I was overloaded with work, and I loved my work, but I was really so busy all the time, and my schedule was different every day. That's the nature of my job, so I'm having to constantly go to my Outlook and create schedules and time it where I could drive to certain places and be on time, and you can't miss a beat. You cannot miss a beat. And I didn't, basically.
Tell them how far you had to drive.
And then also where I was living, yeah, I'll give that. I had a house that I dearly loved. It was my art. I bought this house 35 miles out of town in a little antique town right off the square, a vintage home that, I'm going to start crying again, that I loved so much. And I did it myself. And Mel keeps filling with the stuff I've got. I'm sorry, I'm getting distracted. Anyway, so I loved it so much, and it was so bad. I mean, I totally gutted it. I should have pushed it to the ditch and burned it, but I got it cheap. And as an educator, single woman, it took me 17 years to finish it. But I got stopped whenever I got Morgellons and Lyme. I mean, had Lyme too. And so I couldn't sell it. I had to finish it to sell it. So I had to put a lot of money in. And the way I did it is I put a lot of sweat equity in it myself. I mean, anything that could be scraped or sanded, or I could tile, I could paint. I was a good caulker. And I think that was part of why I got sick, is because I wasn't worried about it. I was ridiculous. I mean, I had 22 wooden windows double hung. I took every one of them out. I took them out, took the glass out, took them all down to the bare wood, all the different pieces, numbered them, scraped, sanded. I mean, all this stripper, sanding, filler. And I mean, I'm sure it was lead paint. I mean, I was being
chemicals.
And the chemicals you got in my garage, and anything Home Depot sold that was caustic, I had a bottle of it or a jar of it or whatever. Anyway, but it was my love. I mean, if you ever go on YouTube and watch these people that redo houses, that was my passion. I had heart pine floors. I mean, oh my God, I can't tell you. So I love that house so much. But anyway, I was starting to go into serious debt because of all I'd had a couple of bad contractors, because whenever I had done some of the stuff that I had to hire done. That's story everybody's been through. Anyway, and then I had to spend so much money on Morgellons, and I wasn't able to work, like summer stuff that I normally would have done, because I was not feeling well. So anyway, it finally got to the point where I knew I couldn't make that commute every day, 35 miles one way, and then drive around the whole district like I was doing and get well. So I finally knew I had to sell it, and I finally just found something inside of me. I don't even know how I existed to get it done. And so I had so many naysayers. That's another whole story. And, when are you going to finish it? When you finish it? It's like, you don't see what's in my head. So finally I finished it. I don't know how I did it, but I finished it, and it was magazine pretty. I put it on. It was so pretty. I'm telling you, it could have gone in the magazine. And I'm saying that because I'm so proud of it, because it nearly killed me. It took years.
Blood equity.
Anyway, bone marrow. Anyway, and it was decorated so cute. I had all these antiques. Anyway, closet tub, gorgeous. So I did, I sold it, and the first people that looked at it bought it, and they are lovely and sweet and adorable, and they love it. And that was good, because if somebody had gone and done something ugly to it, I probably would have died. But shouldn't, but that was where it was. Anyway, so then I bought another house in closer to where I work, and I was planning on downsizing, but I didn't. What was available was another house this was in 19, that was required some work, and I got it for a good price. But then immediately after I gutted a bathroom, I had to get a plumber to come in, because the drainage was messed up. It was built in 1960, so he jackhammered all around the house and had ditches in it. Anyway, so I'm having a hard time, bottom line, getting time to get focused on the protocol. And I'm working, a couple other jobs, a tutor too. So anyway, I'm holding my own. But then, then there's there's the pandemic, and that's been a challenge for everybody, and that was certainly a challenge for my job, and that so that took some focus off of it. And then my job got unbelievably busy, and the year before last, I'm talking in school years, it was the busiest it had ever been. So I just was having a hard time doing everything, but I was doing enough to keep it at bay. Now, also in 19, in April, before I sold the house in September of 19, I had had a lap band put in many years before. I've always struggled with my weight. Now, I had to actually gain weight to get my insurance to pay for it, but I really wanted it because I thought it was easy, and it was. I mean, that was a great, it was great for me, but nobody told me you're not supposed to keep them in over 10 years. So at 15 years, I'm thinking, I remember Colin Mellon saying, look, I know this is a toxic disease. I don't completely understand all the aspects to it, that there's, you know, the toxicity and, you know, the stuff, but I know, you know, all the stuff I've done, including Botox and, I mean, being raised in the petrochemical area. I mean, you know, I'm a walking toxic bomb, I guess. But anyway, well, not now, but anyway, so, I mean.
I was talking about your temper.
We really not need to throw stones there. Okay. Anyway, anyway, I just asked Mel, I said, should I get this out?
Yes.
And so he said, absolutely. So I did get it out, and I thought it was going to be a no big deal surgery because it was no big deal going in. But after it's been in 15 years, it was embedded in my abdominal wall, and they told me to take 2 weeks. So, of course, I didn't. I took Good Friday off, and then that Monday after, I went back to work. It was bad. Anyway, but I did it. So, but I started feeling, but after that, I had to put all this effort into finishing my house. It was one of the hottest summers ever. And anyway, so I really, it took a few months or a couple of years to really be able to focus on it. Okay, so flash forward to last school year, okay? So that's 21-22. And so I finally started, my job started, they did some different the way they did things. So my workload was this bad, so I was able to start really focusing more on it. And then, last June, you're going to probably hit.
Okay, well, in April, she forgot April and May. I think it was when they had some kind of school break. She came to me and she was crying and she said, I'm so tired of being sick.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
right?
That's a problem. Get to
it. Oh, okay. Okay. I'll shut up.
That's okay. Just jump in because I'm not going to stop you. But anyway, so it was actually June. And
okay.
I mean, I remember, like, I mean, this has been a long time coming, but I'm saying this. Two reasons I'm saying this and going into this is one, that to understand why I didn't get well as fast, it was because I didn't do it all like I was supposed to, but I was able to do enough to keep my head above water and get the other things done. So if I can do it, if I could prolong it like that, not the best way to do it, and I could continue working like that, not the best way to do it, and get well, anybody can too. So if you've been doing this for a long time and don't give up. I really had in my heart. I remember telling Mel, I said, I don't think I'm ever going to get well. And
I went ballistic.
Yeah, he was like, he got real sad about it. He said, that's really sad. I'm like, yeah, but this is just, it won't go away. And every time I try, or like when I was off from school, I would push it. And then, you know, when you push it, I think Laura used to say, it's like you're stirring up an ant bed, you know, it gets worse. And I was so upset. And I remember, I think it was the end of May, this last May, and I was sitting in the car in the parking lot at work, and I was talking to you and John about something. And anyway, we're talking about copper, and I just had started the copper, I think, Robert Scott Bell. Now, I will tell you, I was not very good about the WPS because it gave me such a stomachache and so much herpes that when you're having to stop up the next morning and you better be somewhere at a meeting and you cannot miss it and be on, then, you know, I couldn't risk it sometimes. I mean, it was constantly juggling between two things that were like, life-sustaining, my health or my income, you know, trying to figure it out. So I was balancing it back and forth. Okay, June. So finally, summer, I didn't take too much summer work, though I only get a couple of months off, only, you know, but, you know, in teacher world, that's only, maybe not quite two, but still it gave me a window of time. And so I just determined I was going to do every single thing I could, and I started that copper. And I mean, I went really scorched earth with it. And I remember writing a post about, you know, I took my cooking down to like single ingredient stuff. Of course, when Mel saw my mug muffins, he kept calling them mud muffins, mug muffins. He thought they looked vile. But you know what? They really sustained me through, you know, breakfast because that would hold me with some almond butter. And then I would eat like a salad in the afternoon and that was it. I lost 35 pounds, but who knows how much that's bad. Anyway, but it's I'm scared of it. Anyway, but it finally I noticed here's what really happened. Okay, so I noticed when I went back to work, because I take, you know, you have certain amount of sick days, and I kept having to call in or go in on the computer and take sick days, half days, because I was feeling so bad. And I'm like, okay, but I'm going to push through it. And really, I have to tell you, Donna and Terry were huge mentors for me. I never talked to Terry much at all, I don't think, but I followed her. And Donna's a dear friend. But it's like those ladies really did it. Right. And you know, I kept thinking if Terry, I remember reading Terry, I'm going to start crying again because Terry really touched me. What she had to do every night with her hair, and she did it. And I would read her, as a matter of fact, Terry, if you're listening ever, I want you to know, you wrote a post when you talked about what she had to do. Okay. Anyway, I'm not really much of a crier, Mel can tell you. Anyway, but, and what she did every single night, and she never stopped. And I took a picture of it on my computer screen with my phone, and when I get upset, I go back and read Terry's post. And I'm thinking, no, I'm going to push it. And I kept feeling bad because it was like Laura said, you know, you keep stirring it up. And I was having to take mornings off because I would get so fatigued. That was the other thing that nearly killed me is I've always been real high energy and had a lot of passions and a lot of projects and things I love to get done and love to learn and jump and do things. And I couldn't do it. I would tell Mel, he'd call me and say, like, I'm so lazy. I'm sitting around watching TV and I'm so tired of not being able to do anything. Okay, so I went back to work in July 24th. That was the end of my summer because I have an extended contract. And I went back and I was doing everything right. Let me, I'm on the roll here, okay? I know I'm taking a long time. I'm going to tie it up.
No.
Okay, so anyway, and I was sick, and so I kept having to call in. And then one morning, okay, so I ordered the new, I had ordered the one from Etsy, the WPS, and I was doing better with the WPS. I couldn't do it during the workday, but I was doing it at night, and I hated it so much. I mean, I would go in my kitchen rocking chair, and I'd take it, and I'd just talk out loud to myself, I did it. Anyway, so then, and I was so proud of myself, so I started doing it. And then I ordered, Mel told me, he said, this Jim Humble thing, he said, there's one on eBay. He said, you want to order it and try it? So I did. I'll have to find the link. Anyway, but the droppers were crummy, you know. So this was at the end of September or the beginning of October, somewhere in there.
September.
Okay, and so it was the end of it. So I got to, one night, I was just taking my nightly stuff and I was tired. I didn't really drop it real well. And I thought, that's about 8, which is about what I got up to. Mm-hmm. But it was a whole lot more than that. I woke up the next day and I learned what the big hoax is. Oh my God. Anyway, so I mean, it was digestive drama, not as intense as what Mel went through, but horrible. And I had to take a whole day off work. Thank God I didn't have anything scheduled. So, I mean, that I couldn't reschedule. So I couldn't get my head up off the pillow. I was so sick. But after that, oh my God, I cannot believe it. After all these years, I started feeling better and better and better. And about the middle of October, I'm like, I've got my energy back. I couldn't believe it. And I've been taking copper all this time, too. And Mel's giving me time out.
I gave her a time out because in the middle of October, I told her she was going to be better by Christmas, and she didn't believe me. Mm-hmm. And she's been better since she hooked up and rescued me out of the crypto condo because everything I ate, she said, can I try it? And I said, of course.
Well, okay. I had certainly had times during this whole 8.5 years where I would just go on cheat binges, but I would get sick from it and I would have the symptoms. And we all know what those symptoms are. They're hideous. And I would have bad symptoms. Okay. So, but anyway, let me just digress. I started in June really taking that copper. Now I was consistent with the copper and I never really thought the silver did much, but I went ahead and took it just because. And so I was trying to do everything, so I took that. But that copper, I think, made a difference. But all of a sudden, after I had that WPS Herx from H-E-double hockey stick, I did energy came back. What's that noise?
Okay. That's anonymous rattling.
Okay.
No.
Okay, I don't want to be hurting anybody's feelings. Anyway,
no, we're not going to hurt anybody's feelings. Okay. You need a clear and precise recording for all those who are going to come. This is the largest attended call of the year on the last day of the year.
That's I'm honored. Anyway,
great.
So I'm going to try to say something that's helpful. Anyway, so But I've been taking that copper, and I think I had even said I've been real amazed with the copper. I had had a lot of, I was tired, but anyway, it started getting less tired. But when I had that big hurts, it was like all of a sudden, it's like, oh my gosh, I feel like I used to. I cannot believe it. So I was still doing everything right. I was consistently getting better. Then, of course, Mel had his 911, you know, rescued from Tennessee. And so it's been real wild since then. That's been, I had a week off at Thanksgiving. I went and got him. It's been crazy, crazy, crazy. And you know, and then I realized I could eat anything. I could eat stuff. And so I started, I've just had a party for the last month because I can. Now, I am not, I'm going to say as far as well, Mel, and Mel talks in percentages, I think it's hard to measure, but I'm going to tell you what I really think. I think if I had not have cheated for this last month and not taken all my pills and not, and eating anything I wanted, I think I would have been like 99.9. I would put me around 99 right now, but I mean, maybe a little bit more than that. But I am, for all practical purposes, this is so completely under control that the symptoms are just minimal. Now, another thing, I've been living alone for all these years, which is, you know, I cherish, but having Melon here, and he's been living alone for all these years, which has been, you know, like gasoline and fire, but you know, I love him.
Stress levels
are hideous about those. But anyway, sometimes we're just enjoying each other's company a lot. But
we're either kissing or fighting.
I'm not so sure about that. Anyway, but he's embarrassing me. But the thing is that I was so afraid of is that I was contagious. Now, even though I worked around people, I didn't walk around very many people at a time, and I kept my distance. I was just scrupulous. I mean, my grandkids would come over; they live out of town. Very, very careful. My doctor had told me it was not contagious, but I was still extremely careful. My sister had come to live with me at one point after we had this big freeze in Texas she had her house messed up. And so she had no problems. My brother-in-law had no problems, but I was terrified still. And I was so scared. I told Mel, I was going to come get you, but I was so scared. I don't want to do anything to put you at risk. He said, I'm not worried about it. I was even afraid to sit in the car with him in that close proximity for all those hours. Okay, he's wrote me notes. What is it? Okay. Anyway, so all those hours, I was afraid I was going to make him sick. And then, you know, having him here, absolutely not. He's just fine. As a matter of fact, he has helped me so much being here. And all along, I could not have done all this. And I know I'm hopping around. I apologize. I could not have done this without Mel and his coaching. I literally could not have, because besides the practical stuff he told me, and he would, I would always think there's nothing that can be done. I'll have some kind of horrible symptoms. I'm having a terrible time, and I'll think there's nothing that can be done. And then I don't want to hear him yelling at me. I don't want to hear anything rude, you know. And so then I would finally get desperate enough to tell him, and he'd say, okay, look, and he would get really kind, and he would tell me what he thought, and it would help me. Sometimes we had to figure it out together, and I would say, no, that didn't work. No, that didn't work, you know. And he would keep on, you know, trying to figure it out. And he would call John. He'd call Robert Scott Bell. And now that I mean, Mel has been like long distance friend for years.
Six,
yeah. But now that he's here, I can watch his face and I see this. I mean, don't get me wrong. Okay.
Oh, boy. I'm going to get put in a Chateau Bow Wow.
Okay, I'm talking. Anyway, I think of the words whip and chair like a line. I mean, yeah, I really needed. And he can be ungodly rude. Okay, but the truth of the matter is I have seen the look on his face and the extreme kindness in him. And even though he can insult everybody, including me, hideously, I mean, I can see where his heart really is, or I wouldn't have had him in my life all these years. But that doesn't mean that's okay. Okay, back to this. Anyway, so but he's helped me so much, and I still think about it. I was telling this morning, and I was real mad at him. I was telling this morning, I don't know how you did this. How did you stay in that apartment by yourself, and you were sicker than I was, and then you figured it out? How did you figure it out? Well, of course, John B. I love John B. so much, and, you know, he's been so kind to me, too. They just put their heads together, and Mel would try stuff. He's not a fearful person, and John would get him stuff. I mean, Mel put himself in the ringer. And as a result of that, he figured it out. And what a thing, I mean, you know, God sends angels in all kinds of forms, including some that act like devils, I think. But it's like, honest to God, I would not be able to have continued to work and earn a living, I don't know where I would have been, because I only have me. And I would not have been able to get to this point where I am. Who could have figured this out? I know I told to somebody, and they said, well, people are starting to accept Morgellons all around. There's different people that do it. Yeah, but you don't hear about them getting well. And you don't hear about them going on with their lives. I mean, because, I mean, I'm all over the Internet. And certainly not with prescriptions. So what it boils down to is I finally was able to do it. And then now, once after the new year, because I've been having a little fun, you know, I'm going to get back into doing everything just right. And I have no doubt I can get this so far into remission that it's livable. I am not putting anybody in danger of contagion. I am feeling good. I have energy. I'm able to eat different things. Now, what I'm excited about that is for years ago, I was a Weight Watchers leader, and I did it for years. I had a lot of big meetings. But Weight Watchers has fruit and stuff in it, and that's part of their thing. And, you know, fruit is kind of can be kryptonite for us. But I ate some fruit yesterday. I didn't tell you that. I ate a whole fruit cup. And no symptoms. And so now I can actually do some things I used to do that make my life not as I can regulate some other pieces of my life. I mean, everything has fallen into place. I'm not scared anymore. I'm shocked. I really didn't think I was going to get well after all this time. So for everybody out there, don't give up and don't let anything discourage you, because if I can do it, you can do it. I think that's all I wanted to say.
So you want to say, well, how about fielding questions?
Okay. Oh, I'm so excited. Look at all these people here. I can't wait to talk to them. Does anybody want to ask anything? What are you going to do?
Well,
I'm going to go down the list.
Okay. Yeah, let everybody get a shot, because everybody here is not exactly where you are, except Donna. She's, you know, a few leap years away here. All right, so, Mark.
Yes, hello, everyone. And good morning. Thanks for sharing your story, too. I don't care. Yeah, I guess my question is, like I guess I had kind of two. Was there a progression on the WPS? You start, the first week with one, the second week we went to two, and third week went to three, that sort of thing?
Yeah, go ahead and finish, but I got to jump in here.
Okay, yeah, but
go ahead.
He asked me. Okay, so anyway, well, I would start with that, and I was a big start stopper, but every time I did it, I would do that, and I didn't really get up to eight. And it was the stronger stuff, because when we got to the stuff from the white bottles to Etsy, that was definitely stronger. And I was using that time.
Then humble stuff.
I'm going to knock the top of your head off.
Yeah, there'll be a new WPS manufacturer put up in a week or so where we feel it's the original product that I used, and it's the best. And when she OD'd on it,
God,
okay, which is what we did, guys. We didn't break up those drops in the old days. I got up to 14 drops, and you can't believe
the
nightmare I had that night. But that was the end of the nightmare, everything after the major hurts, which many people don't get anymore. She got it. She knows what it was all about.
Well, but that was an accident, and I do not recommend that. I mean, my goodness, that is certainly something. Do it like Mel has said, that you take it. I think that the more mild way to do it, if you can do it, is to break it up into two times a day, and then when you add a drop, you don't add a drop each time a day you do it. You add just one drop, and that means with its little companion drop, per week, and then test it out and to go slow. I mean, mine was an accident, and I wouldn't recommend it. But I mean, I would have rather have gone up on it slower. But I finally was able to get up like this. I hope that answered your question.
And I want to remind everybody that everybody's body is different. And even in the FAQs, where there's an outline on how to utilize WPS, if you're a more sensitive type, well, we have something called the gentler approach. And so that's why it's very important to discuss with me, because after I talk to someone for a month or so, I know if they're sensitive. I know much about them. I probably know what their co-infections are by the questions that I ask that you don't understand, the questions that give me the answers. All right, Nancy. Welcome, Nancy.
Was that all of
Well,
questions?
We're going to go around as many times as we can.
Hi, Nancy.
Yeah, I want to go around.
Okay. Is it Nancy's turn? Did you undo her?
Yeah, she's not blocked. Nancy, come in, Nancy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Nancy. Thank you so much for coming. Did you have any questions?
Well, I know the copper is helping a lot, and Mel got rid of, I got so well, healed my cancer, healed everything that I've been having trouble with for the 8 years in March, other than my Lyme, and it has increased, but I'm still, it's just in my head where I'm having still having some problems with my ears and my nose and my mouth. And I just keep working on it. It doesn't bother me. There's no pain or nothing. It's just that I know that it's still there, and I'm still trying to get rid of it. But I had Rocky Mountain fever 20-something years ago.
My friend had that. My doctor figured that one out, too, that she'd gotten it.
Now, you know how they would take care of the head problem in the old days, Nance?
Cut off the head.
Turpentine.
No, the guillotine.
Oh, Mel. Okay, I'm glad you mentioned that. But you know, as far as that, I had the Lyme and I had the head problem, and it finally abated. I mean, it took a long time. That was probably the last thing, and there's still a little bit of that, but it's so minimal. And I forgot to mention, now that you mentioned Lyme, I had my Lyme bars finally completely went away in my test, and I got my CD57, which was immunity thing. I could not get it up past, like, I think I got to 41 or 40-something one time, and I was really excited. It kept being really low. And then my last time I got it tested, which is just a few months ago, 125. I'm all proud of that. So that is really tangible results, you know, concrete data that this is working, because I didn't do anything but the protocol and some of the parts. So I'm so happy you're better, Nancy, on those things, and hang in there on all those last things, because they just dig in, but you got to dig in harder.
I quit worrying about that, Mel. You know, and you know firsthand that it gives you a peace about it. And I think once the last few months or 6 months or so, I've got that inner peace. Where I just do, you know, get up and do housework or do what I got to do. And if I feel sleepy, I take a nap. And I don't think about it like I used to or worry as much about it as I used to. And I think that's helping a lot.
I think that's huge. And, I mean, I'm one of these kind of people that probably have high anxiety. I'm a worrier. Okay. I did not ask for commentary. Okay. I have high anxiety, which Mel has this belief, okay, that if you just say, don't worry, that's going to do it. Oh, thank you so much. Okay, well, you know, I have to tell you that it is a chemical loop, neurotransmitters, and you just can't say don't do that. But I've told him that so many times. Anyway, but the fact that you have been able to get that under control and manage it, I think is huge. And I had learned to manage mine by managing my environment. I have to keep things a certain way. And I think a lot of people are like that. I need my inner peace that kind of, you know, making sure I have everything done in a certain way and food cooked and whatever. So hang in there, Nancy. Sounds like you're doing great.
I listened to your story, and it just helps elaborate to, I think, all our newbies and all of us, that it's not going to happen overnight, and it all depends on how long you've been dealing with it. And the longer you've had it, or had Lyme or Rocky Mountain spotted fever, you know, the got rid of the M fast. That went away fast. But like in my environment, I'm like you. I clean and wipe my kitchen every morning, every night, my bathroom. Those are two major things. And then the rest of it, washing the clothes and stuff falls into place. But you have to be consistent, and I use my Swiffer mop and my little vacuum, lightweight vacuum, every day and go over the floors, and I know if I miss a day or two, I can tell a difference in my environment. So I think really, like, just vacuuming over your floors with something lightweight or the Swiffer. I even do my walls with the Swiffer some days. And
we're both shaking our heads, yes. You know what? I've said this before. If you put in the work, you'll get well. But the work encompasses stuff that most people really don't want to do. But the sum of the parts is not just about vitamins.
It's a lot. And, you know, the thing is that you know, you do get tired sometimes. And you have, it's a trade-off. You get so tired sometimes. And I've heard Mel say it, and it was very, it helped me a lot. years ago, that sometimes that you just need to sleep rather than to keep cleaning. But whenever you are purging and you're kind of like this circular thing going on with you, you're getting rid of it, you know, better out than in, and then it's in your environment, and especially things that have to do with like cotton or fibers. I got rid of a lot of the textiles around my house, and I love textiles. Anyway, but and it's, you know, that you're going to have that environmental thing, and then, as he said, whenever you get better, your environment gets better, but you go through cycles of it, and sure, you, I mean, I have an old 1980s Electrolux vacuum cleaner that is a wonderful machine.
It's a bull moose.
It's so heavy, Mel makes fun of it. And I get that out, but I also have one of those stick vacs with, that's probably what you're talking about, that has a little battery in it, and that helps. But yeah, I mean, those kinds of things and all that clothes washing and sheets washing, it's part of it. And I'm saying some of this stuff. I know I'm yakking a lot, but I know people are going to be listening to this that are going through it. So some, you have to push through and do that sometimes to get comfortable. And then sometimes you just have to stop and say, man, I need to sleep. I can't do all of this. You know, I can't get up and clean the ceiling today. And, you know,
you have to just go let your body let you know how you feel and what you need to do.
Okay, well, I learned about naps, okay, because I would stay up all night for 4 years researching, experimenting, putting my sin samples in little baggies, making notes, okay? And then I learned when I started to get a handle on it, okay, that if you rest, when you wake up, you're going to do a better job in a shorter period of time than if you try to do something when you're tired.
Correct.
All right. Donna, I'm going to save you for last, dear, if you don't mind, unless you have to leave.
No, that's fine.
Okay, good,
that's fine.
You should be last. All right, Claire. Now, Mark,
hello.
Nancy, Claire.
Okay.
I would bet on all three that you're going to get better. All three. Okay?
If I can, anybody can.
Claire, go ahead. No, Claire's very determined.
And Claire's young. And you know what? That is so going for you. I'm telling you, you're going to get this kicked out. But did you have any questions or anything you'd like to say, Claire?
I did really enjoy listening to your story. It's very encouraging. I don't think I have any questions, though.
Hmm. Well, if you do, you just reach out to Mel. He can answer anything. So, or he'll try to. If he doesn't know, he'll find somebody that might can answer it. So, and good luck to you, sweetie. You're going to get well.
Thank you.
She does everything I ask. And if she calls me, I know she needs to be taken off the ledge. Mm-hmm. And I even get her to laugh once in a while because I pick on her parents.
Your sense of humor is still eluding me somewhat. But
well, you know, it's from overseas, dear. I can't help that.
I have no idea where it's from.
All right, Dale, come in, Dale.
Hey, Dale.
Hey, Mel. Hey, Karen.
Hey, did you have anything you'd like to say? Sorry.
Well, I just wanted to say I'm very happy for you and all that you've accomplished. I felt very similar as you in many aspects that you were describing. I hate taking the WPS. And when I do, whenever I go up in drops, you know, I've got bathroom issues and stuff. But I read, I think it's Brumble, his book.
Jim Humble.
So, and he was describing how that's kind of normal because your body's detoxing and everything. So that was good to hear because, you know, I've been losing so much weight and it was concerning to me and concerning to my wife as well. But but now that I know that it's, and Mel's been telling me
that
it's normal.
Very normal, Dale. I'm sorry to interrupt, buddy, but it's very normal. I'd say half the people put on weight. I put 48 pounds on, okay? And when I had it knocked, okay, starting in early September of 08, by February when I started the website, I lost 48 pounds.
I think it regulates, you know, but people gain it back. But go ahead. I'm sorry we interrupted.
If you lose it, you'll put it back on. If you gain it, you will lose it. Go ahead, Dale.
And it's just like you were saying, it's just frustrating because I'll tell Mel, you know, these things just won't go away. They're still coming out of me. It's just, you know, it'll lessen for a while and then it'll come back. And
that's exactly what's happened to me.
But
finally, you'll break through it. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I really didn't think it ever would. And it is so frustrating. I mean, it's like crazy town with this stuff. I mean, the way it comes back and cycles back. Oh, my gosh. And then you think you got it kicked out, and then it's like some kind of dragon you're trying to cut the heads off of. But thank goodness, it does finally, you can bust through it.
Yeah. So I do have a question for you. So this diet, I mean, the diet is just, I had done keto before I got sick. So that wasn't a huge deal, but I had to be more strict with, trying to cut dairy out or limit dairy more and that type of thing. But the diet just has me just feeling just not the best. But I did, I'll try to eat, when I eat a little bit more fruit, I feel a little better, like when I eat a green apple or a little bit more strawberries or blueberries. I couldn't do that in the beginning because I would have a lot more symptoms, but it's getting a little bit better. But did you eat, did you eat a lot of
fruit? Scared me.
Fruit during?
The only thing I could ever really do, what I did is when I learned about net carbs, that helps me. And that is just like you look up the number of carbohydrates and you subtract the fiber, and that's net carbs per serving. And so when I looked at the fruits, I think that, you know, I could – blueberries and strawberries and raspberries in moderation were the lowest ones, and I could do those every once in a while. If I ever went – up until, like, I mean, really recently.
3 days ago.
Yep, I'm scared. I'm kind of scared of fruit. Okay, but it's okay now. But up until very recently, fruit seemed to trigger things. When I first got sick, it was in my town or my area, cherries were in season, fresh cherries, and I'd been eating those because they were on sale. And so it seemed like it had triggered a lot. But anyway, no, I think that everybody's different. I hear different things from people. And I think that maybe I'm guessing, but I think you're going to maybe ask about, you know, there's a concern with weight loss and you're trying to count those carbs. Well, I guess I'm living proof that even whenever you're really counting those low carbs, and that's how people lose weight, they do it to lose weight like keto, there's a balance in there. And I never really got it right. But if you eat too many calories, even if you're eating the things that you can't have, or too much fat, it'll make you gain weight. So if you're trying to keep those net carbs down and playing with the diet like that to keep your symptoms down, if you're having trouble gaining weight, if you just increase the fat or increase the, you know, the calories, it would help you. It'll keep you from losing too much, I think. Even though there's a lot of, things that'll make you lose weight when you're really sick, no matter what you're eating. I think everybody went through that, but I am living proof you'll gain the weight back, trust me. I hope that helps. And, you know, and really I encourage you to find some things that you like and that you can eat and then just get it on a routine. I know that I got kind of boring with mine after a while. Then I'd go through spurts where I just couldn't stand it anymore, and I'd go in the kitchen and try to create things, and I'd put it on the website. And we do have some good recipes, not just certainly from me, but, I mean, a lot of people have contributed. But really, the thing that helped me the most on food was I would cook ahead, and health standards are like you're not really supposed to keep something in the fridge for over 4 days. So I'd cook something and then just eat on that for 4 days. It got boring, but, you know, hey. It helped.
All right. Thanks, Dale. And again, everybody's body is different, okay? And Karen has certain fears about certain things because of the responses she had in the past. In the last 3 days, boys and girls.
Okay, here you come.
Well, since Christmas, okay? She made the best tasting apple pie you ever saw in your life. She ate half.
I did over a few days.
I didn't God. Do all at once, but she ate half of the pie. I got two slices. Richie got one. His girlfriend got one.
I'll count.
Yeah, I count.
He's lucky he's living, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Okay.
So anyway, and then I got her into pineapple the other day, and she loved it, and she couldn't believe she didn't have any symptoms. Sometimes she'll eat something, people, and she'll start crying because she has no symptoms.
Yeah.
It's the most interesting thing I've ever seen.
Because really, you know, we all have that. The food will trigger symptoms. And so if I'm not triggering symptoms, that's huge. That's well, basically, for all practical purposes.
All right. Okay. Maria, I just met a girl named Maria.
Hey, Maria, do you have anything that you would like to say or ask?
Hi, it was nice hearing your story. I don't really have any questions, but thank you.
You're welcome. You hang in there.
All right. Catherine of the Desert, come in.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Karen. So happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I just wanted to ask you, how much WPS were you at when you started getting well?
Okay, so I had finally got a male. I am talking. Okay. I went up to, I'm sitting here right behind him. I'm going to get him a gift certificate to charm school. I got finally up to 8 drops, and I would do them mostly at night because I wasn't good at doing them during the day. I didn't split them. But that last time, whenever I wasn't really counting, I was sleepy, and I wasn't really counting those drops when they came out.
12 to 14.
Who knows how many came out of that one before that meal? Don't do that, Catherine.
I couldn't understand what you said there at the end with the static.
Okay, I finally had worked my way up by the end of September and October up to 8. And I only took them like once a day because I wasn't good about taking them during the middle of the day. I would take them at night. But I did, but that time I had that bad herx, I was sleepy, and I had that new Jim Humble bottle that wasn't, the dropper didn't really work where I could count it, or it could have been, me doing it wrong. But I looked at it and I thought, yeah, that looks right. So I chugged it down. And then I had that horrible, who knows how many I did. I mean, I did not measure it correctly. It's like I tripped when I did the bottle. So my point is, please don't do that. So basically, I got it up to 8, but I think I had accidentally gotten up to who knows what. And there are differences in the strengths of these different brands, I'm telling you.
Yeah, Jim Humble is the original that I worked with through a guy named Dennis Richards, who represented him back then on the West Coast. And we would do conference calls. But in the old days, Jim Humble, Dennis, and I would get into screaming matches because his protocol actually calls for taking so many times a day. And I kept explaining to these guys that you can't do that because if you do what Jim Humble thinks you should do, you're going to negate everything because you can't put our protocol within 2 hours of anything that he recommended you do. Because they absolutely negate one another. So eventually I had to move away from them because it just was too much to deal with. I'm telling people what to do based on Morgellons. He's telling people what to do based on sales. Well, I don't work for him. I don't work for any of the manufacturers. And let me tell you, our protocol is just not the vitamins, kids. I went and brought the silver. I went and brought the WPS. I went and brought the copper, and copper is a game changer.
Big time.
But not enough of you are even taking silver, because I see the orders every month. So I know who is and who isn't. But if you really want to get well, you've got to do everything. Okay,
yeah,
that's the way to get to the finish line. Okay, so, Catherine, I'm unmuting you. Is there anything else? Because there was some background noise.
Not right now. Thank you, Karen.
Okay.
Good to hear from you, Catherine.
Okay. Ruth Ann, come in, Ruth Ann.
Hey, Ruth Ann.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I do have a question, Karen. Were you dealing with any other medical issues besides the Morgellons and the Lyme before, when you...
Got sick. No, but you know what? I will tell you, and I forgot to say this. like 2 years prior to the whole attic thing in 14, maybe even three, I was cleaning out behind my garage, and I got bitten by a spider. And I had to go to the doctor and get something. And I remember feeling a lot. I had started having, I didn't have any of these other symptoms, but I was having a lot of fatigue. And then I got bitten by a spider again. A couple of years later, I'd get out in the yard and do, you know. And then that was like, it. I think that happened twice prior to me getting up in the attic and getting bit. So I think that took me down, frankly, and then my level of fatigue. And then I think that my problem, it made everything was worse because of all the toxicity. And I remember I had this big closet tub. I remember sitting in the tub one day and I put my foot up on the side. You know how you do? And I looked and it left a black tar footprint. I looked at the bottom of my foot. So I would characterize the things that I was dealing with a very, very high level of toxicity just from my lifestyle. And that made things obviously much worse. But I don't know. I mean, people also come in that are dealing with other health issues. So maybe six of one, half dozen of another, they all complicate it. So
let me get someone else to answer this question. Nancy, how many issues did you have between cancer, heart, coumadin, blood pressure? Those are four that I know of.
Coumadin.
I can't speak English. They all know it.
Yeah. Coumadin is the medicine.
Yeah. Let Nancy answer this for you, kid, because there are 20 different things that have been documented on our website in testimonials that both Donna and Cheryl both wrote the same 20 or 22 different things, okay, that we've done. Anywhere from leukemia to high blood pressure to, I don't even know what they all are anymore. But so that to me is not an issue. It just means longer time frame. And what you're suffering from has to do with muscles.
Yes.
Your back trouble, unless you had it from birth or you have a spinal defect, okay?
No.
You know, I can't say. But, Nancy, why don't you give them a rundown? Because every time we talked, as you started to get well, it was a miracle to you, and it was joy to my ears.
Well, it was to my doctors, especially my cancer doctor. I have been having breast cancer coming and going for the last probably 15 years because just found it from a mammogram. Nobody in our family had ever had it. And when I got on the protocol and start getting better, but when I first got sick with all this, my cancer came back worse. I ended up having to have my breast taken off. But then after I got on my protocol, everything kept getting better. And the last time I saw my cancer doctor, he was so excited. He said, everything is great. Everything is good. You don't have to take any more medicine for the cancer. You do not have to come back and see me for a whole year. He said, I don't know what you're doing, but he even looked up John online, so did my regular doctor, and my cancer went away. We got my blood pressure back down and took me off of, I don't know how many medicines they had me on for that. And it was just one thing after another that kept getting worse. And instead of the doctors doing anything, all they did was adding another medicine or another procedure. And when all of this started getting worse, they took a blood clot out of my arm, which they said was an old blood clot. And I was a palliative care nurse for hospice. So I took care of a lot of people. And I felt like, well, what did I do that I wasn't taking care of myself? Because I'd always been healthy. And just in a couple of years, seemed like everything just went down. We live out in the country, got 14 acres. And so they seemed like they thought maybe that was slowing down a lot of my healing process because we have a lot of woods around us and a lot of water. But all my protocol, I even had carpal tunnel really bad. Had surgery during this time period on my left hand, was going to have it on my right hand. They run tests the day before because this is when the virus was strong. And when I went in that morning and had that done, they told me, they said, you know, we're not going to be able to do it today, and because your test come back from the virus, and we really don't understand exactly what it's saying. And I said, okay. So I went home. I talked to John. He put me on two different medicines added to my protocol. Joint. What is it?
Joint Marvel.
And I started taking that. I have not had a single day of having any problem with my carpal tunnel in my right hand at all, and that's my basic hand that I use.
I bet it was Implistat.
It was Implistat, because I'm the one who told him what she needed.
Yeah, the Implistat,
right? Called Joint Marble, I think is what's on the bottle. And,
yeah, Joint Marble, after 14 years, has made every finger in my hand straight, and I can wear rings, and Karen can attest to this, that I was wearing when I played hockey 50 years ago. And my fingers, none of them look like they were ever broken. They don't look great, but they don't look...
You had broken ones. They look straight. Yeah, I'm looking at them right now.
But tell them about the beet juice, because Karen can tell you I'm a wild man 15 minutes after I drink it.
Yeah, he gets a lot of energy.
Well, so when they got on my blood pressure medicine, and they had put me on three different kinds after the blood clot plus the Coumadin, and it still wasn't coming down. My husband would check it every night to see, and so I finally talked to my doctor, and of course Mel had already told me about the beet. It's a granular powdered one you can take instead of taking the blood pressure medicine. Mm-hmm. And when I went to the doctor and talked to her and explained everything to her, she cut out some of my medicine and said there was one of them, but for some reason they was giving it to me backwards, which was the doctor's mistake. And I got that straightened up and cut all of them way down, and the beet powder just keeps everything low. The doctors are just amazed at everything that Mel and John has done that has healed me and got me feeling so much better, because I just turned 75 last week, and I don't feel 70.
That's so wonderful. I wanted to interject something here real quick, and I'm interrupting, and I apologize, because I think it kind of matches. When Mel was talking about, you know, if you talk about things, joints and bones, this is so funny. You know, we've all heard about the far infrared, and, you know, and Mel, Mr. Opinion, I said, hey, Mel, because his hip was hurting, his knee was hurting, and I said, how about I've got a four infrared pad? He said, I don't know. That works for some people, that doesn't work for some people. I said, just try it. And he was, oh, my goodness, that's helped him a lot, right?
Yeah, the far infrared, which I didn't have an opinion on, but it's like many things that we didn't do back in my day when I was sick. But I was having a hip problem because of how it goes from 16 degrees.
Texas.
Okay. And
flip-flop weather.
Okay. And then it goes to 75 with rain. Well, if you've had a hip replacement and bad knees, you know it when that stuff happens. So I was suffering one day, and she said, why don't you try this? And I went,
it's hard to deal with.
And I tried it, and boy, am I glad I did, and I convinced her to give it to me.
No, I said he could have it.
She volunteered because she was so happy that I stopped complaining.
Well, but I was happy you felt better, but certainly any less complaints, a big thing. But anyway, just to kind of be helpful in moving this along, I think, Ruthann, it's obvious that, you know, these things, that other health things can also be helps with this. And I think, keep going back to what John has always said, and I think Robert Scott Bell is, I think he calls it homeostasis. You know, again, Mel is not a doctor, and what he has figured out how to do is to get well and to get his body in shape to the point where it can fight all these other things. And they're not overnight cures, but they take time. Believe me, they take time. But but there's been so much evidence that with doing everything you can, and with, I keep saying this, but with Mel's coaching, you really, it really helped me, because there were so many times I would have given up, or so many things I thought I knew. I mean, I just knew, I'd read the website, I'd listened to conference calls, I'd been around for, I knew it all, but then he'd pull something out of his hat or just very kindly go find somebody who knew the answer. And there were game changers. And it really, sometimes, I mean, that made a huge difference to me, but all of these health things that they talk about, or Mel talked about, that people have gotten well from, it's all because you've gotten your body back working properly. And there's a lot of people's expertise and time and intelligence and that went into this, other than Mel's, that he's been able to come together and put it together and consult other people. And so he's a really big wealth of knowledge, and I'm just going to encourage everybody to not give up. I just keep saying that because I really wanted to give up so bad. And so, Ruthie, to answer your question, I think that obviously those other health issues have weakened, can weaken you and can create an opportunity for this more gallons and lime and whatever to get in our systems. And toxicity can. And I think Nancy had mentioned this, the anxiety. I think I was very anxious, and I was at a low point in my life emotionally whenever I got with this. I think that made it more opportunistic. So this thing is a lot of pieces to it, but you can overcome all of them if you hang in there.
If you get something, that call, Mel will tell you. If I get something that's happening that I hadn't noticed before, I get on the phone and call him, and he will figure out or either find out and tell me what to do to help that. And there's nothing he's told me yet that has not helped.
And you certainly had a lot of different things. So that's good information, and I'm hoping this just all encourages everybody, because I've been so discouraged over the years with letting my mind work overtime and worrying that I just hate anybody else to have to go through that. So that's why I keep on saying it. But who's the next person? That was so nice to talk to you. Who's next?
Okay, next is Carrie Ann and Joe.
Hi.
The honeymoon is with the beautiful little baby.
Oh, that little darling baby is so precious. How are y'all doing?
Oh, she's precious, all right.
I had two daughters. Get ready. It goes on. So I'm supposed to be encouraging people. They're so much fun, though.
She said, I want to talk to Mel.
Oh, my goodness. So do you have anything you'd like to say or ask?
Yeah, Karen, real quick, and I was going to do an email after, but now I'm on you mentioned at the beginning of your story about getting like your immune levels checked. I've never heard of that. Was that with an immunologist, or how did you go about doing it?
Well, my doctor who has dealt with a lot of difficult diseases, that's one of the things she does. The test is called a CD, like the letter C is in Coca-Cola. D is in donut. You know where my mind is. 57, like 5'7". It measures and I may not even be describing this accurately, but it's supposed to measure your level of immunity. And and Donna will talk about that a little bit when she comes on, because she has the same, had gone to this doctor and had that measured. And it's just a good indicator of what is your body coming back together and you know, where you are. You have to ask for it, and it costs extra, but it wasn't terrible, and I have really crummy insurance, and I don't think I paid that much.
All right, Joan. Go ahead, Joe.
No, I just looked it up real quick, Karen, so I've got it at least starred on, bookmarked in my web browser. But did you say from your normal GP practitioner, you just have to ask for it?
No, Lyme.
Well, she was my Lyme doctor, but she's also people. But you have to ask for it. So if you go into your GP practitioner, you know, you might have to ask for it. It's not in the normal battery of it, the panel. Okay. It's not in a regular panel.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Other than that, really appreciate your story and everything that you've gone through. So thank you so much for sharing with us. Yeah, that was really the only question we had on that, because that's something that could probably benefit Carrie, is getting a benchmark of her level. So thank you.
All right. Tia, do you want to say something or just grunt?
Well, her head hurts. Yeah.
I know.
I just want to say thank you to Karen. I just wanted to say thank you to Karen for sharing and giving us all the details. And for those people that have been in the battle for some time, it's just very rewarding. So thank you for sharing.
I'm so happy to be here and be able to do it. You're going to get there too, Tia.
That's right, Tia. I told you, there ain't no way you ain't going to get better, even if I have to come there and put you on my shoulders.
I'm good.
All right.
She said no thanks.
I know she said no thanks. But she hasn't told me my mother is looking today, so that's good. And she hasn't called me potty mouth. That's also good.
Yeah, I've got him under restraint.
Yeah, she's got me under restraints. That's correct. Okay, Najla.
Hi, Najla. Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Thank you so much for being here. And did you have anything you wanted to say or ask?
Thank you. Yes, I think I remembered you mentioned maybe using an electrostatic sprayer before in one of your calls. And
I had heard
I was wondering. Oh, you'd heard? Okay, because I was just wondering if you had.
I had a fogger. I had a fogger, but I think the electrostatic ones aren't as messy. And I'd heard they were really great when you're in that process of, you know, like you're purging and your environment's a mess. You use it, right?
Yeah, I've been using it. I heard it's better than a fogger, and I think it may be. So
yeah.
I just was wondering if you had any other experience.
No mess. No mess.
Well, I was just very, really inspired to hear your story about, you know, the things that you did to help make you better. So it's very, very, you know, and how dedicated you were. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome. But I think that my takeaway is that you can go through periods of time and not being dedicated if life gets in the way. And if you get in this and get serious, you can pull it back around. So I just don't want anybody to be discouraged.
Okay. No, that's encouraging, too. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Okay. Trying to mute it because she has background noise. All right. Anonymous, welcome. And I never remember your name because I never write it down. Because you want to remain anonymous, but you can
That's
ask the question as anonymous.
That's okay, and I understand wanting to keep a low profile. If you don't want to say anything, you don't say anything. You just listen and take your notes, and it'll be fine. But if you'd like to ask or say something, please feel free to do so. Okay, I don't think he or she wants to.
It's a girl. That I do know.
It's okay.
Okay, so there's my buddy Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, man. I've been having a party.
I bet you are. I'm very happy to hear that you are well now. I know it's been a long time in the making. I do have a couple of questions. One, I'd like to direct towards Dale, if I can, about the weight loss. So, Dale, I went through the same thing. I'm 6'1", and I got down to, like, 150 pounds, so... It was pretty bad, and I was very self-conscious about it. But I can tell you now that I'm back up to my normal weight. I'm back up to 180. If you want to try the shake in the morning with an avocado, that's also will help you gain some weight as well.
I'm hearing a lot of static. You're hearing a lot of static. What's going on? Are you driving? It sounds like it.
No, that's someone else.
You're going to have to mute everybody but that number. I think you just muted Dale.
No, I didn't mute Dale. I muted Brian.
Okay.
Because I couldn't figure out who was driving. Maybe it's Jesse. Okay, but whatever.
Yes.
Okay, so...
Are you driving, Jesse?
Yes, I'm
Hold
driving.
Hold on, Jesse. Okay, well, I'm going to mute you so we get it clear. Go ahead.
That was it. That was the one.
Brian, go ahead, buddy.
All right. Did you hear everything I said in the last... statement?
Yeah, that you had encouraged the weight gain would help with the shake with the avocado because of the high fat content.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Time out. Hey Dale, did I not tell you to do that?
You did, and I think somebody else had wrote a post about it right after you did. So yeah.
So if it's not working, add a second shake and a second avocado.
Okay.
And maybe get a little more protein in there with a little red meat.
Yeah, definitely.
Shake? No, not in the shake. No, dear. No, no.
Gross.
Oh, God, no.
You're fired.
I'm fired. Oh, dear.
Okay,
now
cool,
I'm
dude.
Going to Chateau Bow Wow. Now I'm fired. Go ahead, Dale.
All right. Yeah, that sounds good. I had recently tried to start that. The avocados I was buying just weren't good, so I just need to get back to the store. But, yeah, that sounds good. I do like avocado in my shake.
Okay, Brian.
All right, and yeah, one more question. So I wanted to get a little bit more clarity on the cleaning portion of the sum of the parts. So I was under the impression that as we got better, our environment got better. So should I be focusing on cleaning every day, or
I think
he's in the 97%
Okay, well let me just kind of answer that because I've been through this a lot because I'm a clean freak. Okay,
both clean freaks.
Okay, so I think you just have to listen to your body. And I think also as you get better, you're going to think your environment's okay sometime, and then you're going to cycle back. This is what's true for me. You're going to cycle back into like an egg cycle or whatever. You're stirring it up from purging, and then all of a sudden your environment's worse. And it's like, what is that? So I think you just kind of have to play with it, and it rocks back and forth. The thing that I believe helped me the most, I mean, I haven't, besides fruit, my other huge fear is cotton. I got everything polyester. I wear like, you know, polyester clothes, and I sleep on polyester sheets, and I got, except for my grandmother's furniture in the living room that I adore, former living room, that I don't have upholstery that's like fabric. And I bought leather couches and stuff, and vinyl stuff. And so anything I can clean, I have tile floors. So I think if you can, it depends on the person and what your vector is and what you're still dealing with. But I think if you just kind of listen to your body and go back and forth and kind of get things out of your way that have fibers that can kind of cling to it, then that plays a part in it, I guess is what I'm trying to say for some people.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Sounds good. I appreciate the info.
Okay.
All right. Good. Good job. Glad you're here, buddy. Really glad you're here.
Good to be here.
Okay. Jesse, come in, Jesse.
Yes. Good morning. How's everybody?
Hi, Jesse. Thank you for coming.
I really enjoyed listening to you. I just wanted to ask, it sounded like whenever you got consistent is when things kind of started to fall into place.
I had to detox a lot. I had to get rid of all the chemicals around me and stuff, too. That was the thing.
Right.
Get rid of all that, man.
Yeah, so like how long after you how long were you being consistent with, was it a couple
probably
of months?
About 6 months, but I had been taking that protocol for a long time. And I had worked my way out of, I was pretty good about taking the supplements. I had rebuilt my BioTerrain. I had gotten really clean about my environment as far as like not using chemicals anymore. I mean, and
right.
I had gotten rid of that lap band that was made of silicone or whatever that had a huge device in my body. I'd stopped doing all the chemical stuff, you know, remodeling the house and stripping stuff. I mean, so all of those things were like laying the groundwork to where I could get to that point of detoxing and then, you know, using cleaners like Clean Green and stuff to clean house or essential oils or whatever. I mean, I still had certain things they used. I mean, I like Mrs. Meyer's Clean Day stuff, and that's because it smells good and it's not really toxic. But anyway, my point is I had a lot of years of groundwork before I got to that 6 month point where I went down to scorched earth.
Okay.
Did
I hear you saying something about doing the sauna, the infrared sauna?
And now I did use the infrared heating pad. I had the one with a little jade round things on it I got from Amazon that Mel just loves, but it would really help because I had a patch of this on my back and I would lay on it and it was gave me a lot of relief. I also got one that my daughters have made fun of endlessly. It was one that I ordered off Amazon, and it's one of those, remember that old Lucy show where she got in the steamer and she created, would just stick it out? Well, it's one that's an infrared thing and it looks like a big baked potato. It's kind of a full quilted thing.
I've had one of those before. Yeah. Now where just your head pops out, you look like a turtle
or
something.
It really helps. I've tried to zip mail in it. He won't do it. But
it's not as big as I am.
Yeah. I thought about zipping a minute and walking off. But anyway, but I found that to be really helpful too. Though
okay.
I have the Lyme aspect of this, and I had a lot of this in my head and hair, which is gone now. I mean, it's tiny little exceptions. But I found it helpful.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right.
Music
Laurie.
Now. I've got to go on to the grocery store.
Okay. We'll see you.
Bye.
Laurie.
Hi. Good
Hi,
morning.
Laurie.
Hi. So happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Oh, you're welcome. I came in a little late and I didn't hear the beginning, so they posted. I'll go back and listen.
Okay.
I do have a question on what you did with your hair to get it out of your head.
Okay, I'm gonna. I think Terry's your very best bet on that one, but I tell you what I did.
I needed it.
Okay, I loved, and I bought this based on Terry's recommendation. It's called Sulfur 8 Shampoo, and I would get it off Amazon because I could order like 4 or 6 bottles cheaper. I would look at it per ounce, and I would let that sit in my hair, and I still do when I'm sitting in the shower. I would let that sit in my hair, and you could just feel it kind of popping, and you know what I'm talking about. If you're listening, and you could feel it, and I would let it sit there as long as I could, and I would do that 2 times, and then, you know, of course, I had just some different kinds of non-sulfate shampoo, something that smelled better than that, to do like for a third one, and then a third wash, and then I still did that, and then use a conditioner that was non-sulfate, and that took a while, but it seemed like it was going along with everything else I was doing, but I really felt like the sulfur stuff, as bad as it smells. I did find a sulfur. I'll have to find it and put it on the site. And I found it on Amazon, a sulfur soap that has lavender in it that's not as vile smelling. And I've been using that one. But that took a while because the hair issue was real. You know, that took a while. But I knew that whenever I can put that in my hair and sit in the shower, because I have like a little shower bench, and I can sit there and let it do its work. And when it finally... And I do it now and let it sit, and I'd hardly feel anything. That's a big sign. So, but it just took, it was part of the whole, some of the parts I was doing, but that sulfur 8 shampoo I think is great. Okay.
Okay, anything else, Lori?
It's called sulfur what shampoo?
8, like the number 8. And you could probably buy it at Walmart, the grocery store, but I just found it to be cheap and convenient to order off Amazon. And if you go through and you look, I found that if they say Amazon bestseller or whatever it is, best pocket or whatever, that seems to be whenever I see that little banner, it's usually somebody's gone through and figured out that's the best price. So, you know, I just, like I said, I order, you know, I just look at how much it costs per ounce and order like 4 or 6. I usually go into my history and try to find it. But I'm sure you can find it at the grocery store, Walmart, or whatever. But it's sulfur and the number 8. And it's a golden shampoo that's kind of clear. Boy, it makes you feel good.
All right.
And it suds up.
All right. Thanks, Lori. All right, Donald, you're up.
Hi, bud.
Hi, Karen. Wonderful ending. Wonderful ending to your recovery process. Congratulations. Did it.
Thank you. I didn't believe it was going to happen.
I'm so happy. It's fantastic. Wonderful. Hey, can you talk a little about your anxiety and night sweats, with how bad they were, and what you used to control them, and do you have them now?
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I think I still have post-traumatic stress syndrome. I think that what happened is, and I'm guessing, okay, so whenever I was cleaning out my attic, I had a half story. So you know how that's right. So you get these little storage areas kind of down the side. I had it floored and lights put in. It was totally clean. But I was sitting cross-legged, you know, and I had my little dustpan and my paintbrush. I was kind of doing stuff. So when whatever bit me, it started out at the base of my spine, and they were like the size of nickels at the bottom of my spine, equally distant from my spine. So I started feeling things going up and down my spine. And as you know, your nervous system is all branches out from your spine. So I would have purging from my spine, and I knew, but I felt like whenever I was stirring it up, and I keep going back to what Laura was saying about, you know, stirring up the ant bed, that there are times, especially when I was taking the WPS at night, I was stirring it up that I could literally feel whatever this vector was, or, okay, parasites, dancing on my nerve endings. And I keep thinking about some of these old sayings, like on my nerves. I literally feel like physically these things were, and this is just my conjecture. This is what I'm feeling like is happening, my, you know, analysis of it, that they were dancing on my nervous system. And it would be like, it would wake me up at night, and it would be like something just electrocuted me. And I'm just like, ah, and I could feel it. It would just drive me crazy. Sometimes the lemon cleanse thing, and if I especially put enough cayenne pepper in it, I'm up in the middle of the night, I'm thinking, oh my God, I got to work tomorrow. And I'm dancing around the house, drinking this hot stuff anyway, but it would help. But yes, I think that's part of the healing process,
and I'll still wake up at night because anxiety is just real, you know, and then it'll get it and I'll start worrying at night. And, you know, that I've had a lot of changes along with Mel being here. I mean, you know, this has been hard for both of us in some ways, but pleasant too. And I'll just wake up and it's like something just electrocuted me. And I don't know if it's just from, okay, stop it. If it was like from anxiety, from just situational, or if it's like left over from that feeling like that, it's on my nerves and the crawling. So it did eventually go away. I still have some of that because I'm a very anxious person anyway. And I like, the way I manage my anxiety is being, keeping things very serene and being in control of my environment and having things a certain way. And Mel has his way of doing things and we're together. So that's a little off balance for both of us right now. So I think that certainly that is my opinion is that's a physical thing going on as you're stirring this up. Now, I thought of something else, though. I realized in my other house that I sold, I had to get somebody to come in and clean out all my ductwork and my air conditioner because there was mold in it. And this house, I've been in it for 3 years, I had them come in and clean out all my vents. But just in October or maybe, no, it might have been August, I looked up in my bedroom and I saw black around my vent. And I'm like, oh, no, no, no. So I called the service out. And they came out and they cleaned the fire out of it. I got all the vent covers and they put a blue light in my air conditioning system, my HVAC, because in Texas, it gets hot and it gets cold and it's damp and, you know, and so they said that would keep some of that from growing. But mold definitely was a part of my whole toxic environment story. So I keep that under control now. But so I do think, you know, and I had remembered you saying that jumping in that stuff, you know, at night, that was a part of mine. And I just think it had to do with the actual physical sensations of me stirring up the monster and it getting on my nerves. So I hope that answers your question.
Thank you, Karen. Wonderful.
Okay. Is there anything that you want to say, Karen, before we go to Donna?
Well, just that the whole thing has to do with it's so complicated, and that my biggest problem always was I really felt like I could get rid of it with one thing, that it's so multifaceted and it's complex, and that the fact that you'd actually figured it out with John, I still can't believe it, and that you have all this years of expertise and knowledge of being able to put this all together and see so many people's journeys. I just have to say, if it wasn't for Mel, though I indeed do want to kill him sometime, Mel aside. Anyway, but it's if I didn't have your coaching, if I didn't have your help in this, I couldn't have done it. I mean, I really had to have it. And even as much as I thought I knew from the website, there was always something new. And I appreciate your willingness to go consult other people and to find help and put your heads together and figure things out. And that was from the coaching. So thank you. And that was your first coaching customer. I'm kind of happy to say that.
You were my first coaching customer. I was so broke, it was ridiculous.
He got 50 out of me, and I mean, it was well spent. And that first 50, I mean, it's been more since, obviously. But
well, yeah, then you bought the senior discount before you were a senior because I had a crush on you.
Oh, man, I tell you what, it's been a lot. I've helped Mel out over the years. He's helped me out, but it's because, you know,
we're friends.
We're dear friends. And I think that that certainly the expertise and the years of doing this every day, you're going to know things that you just can't know from reading the site of it. And plus, the site is endless. Sometimes you don't know where to look. But anyway, I think that's
all right.
Okay, is anybody else?
Yeah, Donna Bonanna. Hey, Louisiana Hottie, come in.
Hi, Mel. Hi, Karen. Karen, I am beyond excited for you. I mean, this has been a long time coming, but I knew you were going to get there. And a lot of times I could hear you were discouraged, but I just knew it was going to be in its own time. And I am so excited. I just can't wait to, you know, set up our meeting.
I'm coming to the meeting.
I didn't
imagine. She's going to cuff me and gag me and drag me along.
He'll whine about what we're going out to eat. He doesn't like seafood. But if I'm going to southern Louisiana, down there in wonderful, glorious Cajun land, I am going to eat good. Let me put it that way. He might not like it, but I'm going to get me some seafood.
Absolutely, absolutely. But you, but, there's, but seafood around the country is not like in Louisiana, Mel.
It's the best, man. Because I grew up close to Louisiana in Texas, and there is nothing. That is God's country I'm cooking. And you can't have gumbo, Creole, I mean, you name it, some jambalaya. I mean, we are not taking, I'm not taking.
Look, that. Look, you guys don't realize, I've been in big poker tournaments in Louisiana, and I could always get fried shrimp.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, you can get plenty of that. Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's the only fish I eat besides tuna. And I eat fried shrimp maybe twice a year, and tuna maybe six times a year.
Yeah, but you're not driving the restaurant tour here on this one. I'm going to.
No, I'm not going to pick the restaurant. Listen to this. We're going to all meet under that tree. That's what I want.
Well, you know, okay, just kind of backing up here. I grew up close to Louisiana. My dad loved history, and he just loved it so much. And he just he would put things in context for us as children, and he would tell stories. And those of you who don't understand the history of Louisiana and southern Louisiana below I-10, it is such a romantic history. And then there's something called the Evangeline Oak on Bayou Teche, which is an artery from, you know, you come in from the Gulf and you come in, and that was part of the transport system. But it was where the poem Evangeline was by Longfellow was actually a part of that. And it was about, Emmeline Labiche and Louis Orson. It was just very romantic. And then they were coming in from Canada, and I think she was waiting for him and he to come in, and she waited by that oak. Well, now it's a beautiful park, and it has a gorgeous gazebo overlooking the bayou. And there's a big oak tree called the Evangeline Oak. It's just breathtakingly beautiful. And so my dad, we would go over there and take day trips and, you know, tour different historic places. And he would, I have a picture of me, Daddy standing out there, and he's telling me the story of it. And it was just so rich in history. And it was like, and of course he loved the food and the Cajun people. And I tried to always get him to come over here to my side of Houston from where he lived. He said, "No, baby, I can't leave my Cajuns." I mean, cause they're just such wonderful, fun people and party all the time. And so he was, I have a picture of it. So I, when I realized that Donna lived in that area, I'm like, oh my God, if I ever get well, I'm going to go meet you under the Evangeline Oak. I'm going to start crying again on that gazebo. And so that's that story. Because I was scared to death to meet her in person, because even though it's drivable, because I was scared I was sick and I might make her sick. But I don't think so now.
Donna, how long have you been well?
Let's see. 3 years. Three years. Three and a half years, technically. Yeah, 3.5 years.
And do we still talk between, let's say, 3 and 6 times a year?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And I've talked to Donna. She's been such a wonderful friend, and I've probably abandoned her some since I don't make that commute, because that's when I would talk on the phone a lot. But I started before Donna. Donna found me, and then she, I felt like the last child, you know, in the remedial class, left behind forever, you know. Everybody's getting well around me, and I'm not. So I just want you, everybody to know, you can do it. It can happen. If I can do it, anybody can do it. And I didn't think I was going to get well, but Donna was an incredible inspiration to me, and so disciplined and such a kind person and such a good friend. And I'm so grateful to you, Donna, for being there for me as a friend.
Oh, well, I'm grateful to you, too. Many times you and I were on the phone together for hours, seriously.
I miss you.
I enjoyed those talks. I really, really did, and they helped me tremendously as well. So I wasn't the only one that helped you. You helped me tremendously.
I'm so glad that if I could. And so, but anyway, we're gonna do that. Now, right now I have been on a party, the party bus, eating, and so I'm about to go back to work on Tuesday, and I'll have to wait for another break, and I'm going to clean everything up and really, you know, get myself under control. And it might be spring or summer. We'll be calling in saying, "Hey, Donna, can you meet us for lunch?" But we definitely will do it if you're still interested.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm like you. I mean, I've been today. Well, tomorrow is my last day of splurging on everything I've been eating, and then I go back to behaving again.
But the good news is it can be done, you know. So that's just great to know. And but anyway, I'm so happy for you, and you got your life back. You did everything right, and you did it with such great love in your heart. I mean, you know, because you loved your family so much and your grandchildren, and it was all about taking care of that family. And I mean, I was the happiest person I could be when you got well. I'm just so happy for you. And
well, that's how I feel about you too. I just can't say it enough in words that I'm so happy for you. It's just none of us can know what it feels like until we're there. It's just like you know, before we got sick, we took everything for granted. When you're finished with this, you don't.
You don't. And I've been saying for years, I really feel like, and I could go off and people are probably like, gosh, would she ever shut up? But it's like, you know, to me, it was a real spiritual journey. And there's been, if, in my opinion, if we're put here on this earth to learn lessons and to go to school, this is like PhD level, you know, this is, you really learn about so many things about what's important and about your body and, you know, and staying well. And this will offset a lot of other things with this great healthy protocol, and healthcare is expensive. So this is a drop in the bucket. I mean, it is, even though it's expensive to buy the supplements, I'm telling you, if I can not have to spend money on some of this other stuff, which I have not had to, it is huge. I have friends, you know, that I work with, and they're like, oh my God, you know, here I am. I hadn't met that deductible. Then it's just going to pay 80% and the other 20% is going to be hideous. And I've just got to fork over so much money just to stay well in all these prescriptions. I don't have that. I'm paying money every month for the supplements, which I think it's just a sin and a shame that we can't have insurance pay for it. But it's definitely cheaper than what my friends spend just aging, you know, and just going through regular stuff with crummy insurance. So shout out to John, and thank you, John, and his dad for doing this, for finding this.
Yeah, and thank Jim Humble.
Yes.
Thanks, Sovereign Silva.
And Copperman, whoever that is.
Right, that's also Sovereign Silva
and,
Company.
And then also, I mean, Robert Scott Bell, who recommended this, that. Those are things that have definitely saved. It's a big chunk up, and I'm like, how am I going to do this? This is so much money. But I spent a lot of money on other stuff. If I had just, and I'm not faulting myself, because why would I believe it? You know, there were so many things that you didn't know how to believe. But if I had just been able to really focus on Mel's protocol, some of the parts, getting his help, coaching, if I had just been able to focus on that and eliminate everything else, I would have saved myself a pile of money. It's expensive, but it's not as expensive as the deductible, and the rest of the junk on the insurance doesn't work for medical stuff. So,
try not to interrupt too much today.
He's done good.
But let me just say that there's a couple of thoughts I have. First of all, one of my proudest moments is that so many people from Texas and Louisiana had the opportunity to go to one of the finest Lyme doctors in the country, okay? But they got well here.
She's kind and she's good, and she will diagnose it for you informally, and I don't want to even say her name, because I think if she's been having enough courage to do this for people, I don't want to put a target on her. But I'm telling you what, even though she's done it and she does recommend some natural stuff, she's got a few things going, she's big on the glutathione shots and et cetera. But it's, even though that didn't get me well, she just basically kept my family off my back because she named it.
And Donna, do you remember when we used to talk and I'd wait till your husband was gone? Well, that doesn't sound right.
That sounds good, Mel.
Charm school. She wants me to go to charm school at 77, but she just graduated me from fifth grade.
Barely.
But remember, like, first of all, what did I do to make you laugh? Because you came sometimes to me. I didn't call you, and you weren't laughing.
Oh, no. Sometimes he'd tell me his joke of the day. That was his most famous thing to do.
Okay, the joke of the day. How many times did I tell you the alligator and the crocodile?
Don't remember.
Okay. All right.
Oh, really? Don't.
Well, hey, no, I don't remember. I mean, that's my only joke, so everyone's heard it many times.
Donna lives with alligators, so you know.
No, I know she lives with alligators.
Where she lives, that's real, okay?
All right, well, Donna, I'm so glad that we stayed in touch. And, you know, Donna, almost all of those who have gotten well in the last, I'd say, 5-6 years, we've all stayed in touch with one another, really. Maybe not so much in the beginning, because the stigma about Morgellons was much more intense But in the last 5-6 years now, all of you have gotten well. I talk to still all the time, or as much as I have time for. And that always makes my heart sing that I was able to help people get well, despite being such a tough nut myself.
Well, yeah. I'm truly, truly grateful to you, Mel, and I always will be. I can never thank you enough, because I, like Karen said, I couldn't have done it without you. I couldn't have. And I know
thank
that.
Thank you very much. All right, is there anybody who's got a last question that they have to have done now? If they do, you got to put your hand up, and you got to know how to do put your hand up.
Okay, I discovered this thing. I would hit star 5, and then it would say my hand was up, and it would say it was up. I had to hit star 5 twice.
Okay, well, if anybody wants to ask another question, hit star 5 at least twice. But you can hear the phone say hand raised.
Yeah, but it doesn't always do it unless you do it twice.
Oh, it doesn't always do it unless you do it twice.
So give it a shot.
Anybody got a question? Okay. Donna, anything you want to say in closing?
Well, I have a question. No, Mel, just thank you again, and thank you all for being there. And Karen, congratulations again. Can't wait till we meet to meet.
I'm looking forward.
Okay. And Karen, is there anything you want to say in closing?
Don't give up, man. Don't think it can't be done.
Okay. Well, guys, we're back tomorrow with prayer and fellowship. I only wish that all of you would join us. Whatever you do tomorrow, whatever you do tonight, please forget the booze. It's guaranteed sugar. And you take sugar tonight, you will pay for it on Monday. All right, everyone. God bless you all. Thank you all so much for coming. And everybody, let's hope that most of you aren't here next year. That would be my joy. God bless. Happy New Year. Bye-bye.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Bye-bye.
New Year.
Bye.